This is Dan's Mega 65 Digest for November 2025. Every pixel a color. It's November, and you know what that means. It's time to level up our Mega 65 graphics knowledge. In this digest, we'll reach another major milestone in our VIC-4 journey, full-color character graphics. Type-ins galore, so warm up those coding fingers. Let's start with the news, then get right at it. Dan's Mega 65 Digest 2025. My talk from Vintage Computer Festival Midwest 2025, Dan's Mega 65 Digest 2025, is now online. This one looks at the Mega 65 through the lens of this very newsletter over the last few years. It's a haphazard introduction to the platform, its capabilities, and its community. That's you. I tend to give these talks to audiences that still haven't heard about us, so there's always quite a bit of introductory overlap. Hopefully there's enough new stuff, or at least enthusiastic review, for you to enjoy. Spring, a limited edition boxed release. Gertsch's Artistic Family is producing a limited edition boxed title for the Mega 65. Entitled Spring, the game is designed by Gertsch's daughter, and will be distributed on floppy disk with boxes and add-ons by Gertsch's sister. Spring will be available to the Mega 65 community in strictly limited quantities. If you'd like one, contact Gertsch on the Discord. Check out the game's website for more information, poster art, and a guide to the game. Links in the article, as always. Featured files: The Woods of Peril by Lippy, an original text and graphics adventure game. Music by Gertsch. Navigate the forest with cursor keys, rotate left and right, move forward or backward, follow on-screen prompts in villages and during battle. Overlord by Drex. Navigate the maze and avoid the Overlord. Listen for his footsteps, avoid his line of sight, and try to make it to the end. Based on Drex's own alpha maze. Use keyboard controls to move, WASD, and Q and E to rotate. Yet another core for your home arcade from Muse, Mr. Do is now available. Collect cherries, avoid monsters, and defend yourself by pushing giant apples and throwing your ball. Recap: 2 and 4 colors per character. In the September digest, we introduced Super Extended Attribute Mode, or SEAM, and the CHR16 register, a feature that allowed us to commit more memory to graphics and access more features. So far, we only got more screen codes out of the deal, but that's a pretty big step up. We were able to fill the screen memory with ascending screen codes to make a screen-wide bitmap quilt of monochromatic tiles. I left all of the foreground colors white in that example, but we could have proceeded to assign different foreground colors to each 8x8 patch within the first 32 palette entries. Clever pixel artists know how to hide the color transitions between character boundaries, though with only one foreground color, seams can be difficult to avoid. This gets especially interesting in combination with low-res multicolor mode, where colored shapes can seamlessly cross character boundaries. With this technique, the background color and two MCM colors are the same for every character on the screen, requiring careful planning to blend them with individual character foreground colors. And MCM doubles the visible width of the character pixels, potentially giving those characters a chunky look. 4 possible colors per character provides options within these limitations. Introducing Full Color Mode. The Mega 65 can take this to the next level. In Full Color Mode, or FCM, the VIC-4 can assign a different palette entry to each high-resolution pixel of a character in a character set. Instead of 1 bit per pixel selecting between the character's foreground color or the screen's background color, FCM uses 1 byte per pixel. Value 00, is still the background color, and hexadecimal value FF is the character foreground color. Values 0, 1 to FE select the corresponding colors directly off the palette. We started this series on character graphics with the observation that assigning a 23-bit color value to every pixel would be impractical. It uses too much memory, and by extension is too slow to update. A 640 by 200 screen with 23 bits for every pixel would require 359.375 kilobytes, nearly all of the Mega 65's chip RAM for a single screen. Full color mode strikes a balance. It's still character graphics, and it's still indirectly specifying the 23-bit color with an 8-bit palette. A program like a game looking to update the display quickly can still do so with minimal memory changes, using references to character tiles. To perform our full-screen bitmap trick with 80 by 25 or 2,000 character codes, full-color mode would demand 64 bytes per character, or 128,000 bytes, or 125 kilobytes, of character set graphics data. That's still a lot of memory, but it's doable. Important facts about full-color mode. There are two important things to know about full-color mode. The first is that FCM is a feature of Super Extended Attribute Mode and requires that CHR16 be enabled. The second important thing to know is that in full-color mode, screen memory does not store screen codes. Instead, it stores the absolute address of the 64 bytes of character data. The char pointer register is ignored for characters referenced in this way. For example, a screen code of hexadecimal 1000, or 4096 in decimal, refers to 64 bytes at address hexadecimal 1000 times hexadecimal 40, or hexadecimal address 40000. A character address must be aligned to a 64-byte boundary. Screen memory stores the address divided by 64. With CHR16 enabled, there are 13 bits of screen memory per character, with a maximum character address of 1FFF times 64, which is 7FFC0 to 7FFFF. Mega 65 chip RAM only goes up to 5FFFF, so you effectively have all of chip RAM to store full-color graphics character tiles. I'm calling this out as important because it's a common tripping point for developers learning FCM for the first time. This absolute address behavior is described in the manual, but the current state of this information is a series of brief paragraphs, so it's easy to miss. FCLR High and FCLR Low. To enable FCM for screen codes 0 to 255, set register FCLR Low, bit 1 of address D054. To enable it for screen codes 256 and higher, set register FCLR High at address D054, bit 2. Enabling FCM changes the interpretation of the affected screen codes to absolute 64-byte aligned addresses. Having separate FCM switches for lower and upper screen codes makes it easy to support both traditional character sets and full-color graphics on the same screen. A common configuration is to keep FCLR low clear and only set FCLR high. This way, screen codes 0 to 255 continue to refer to the monochrome character set pointed to by the char pointer register, and screen codes 256 and above refer to absolute addresses, hexadecimal 4000 and above. FCLR low is therefore not particularly useful. All it does is enable the ability to refer to full-color character graphics data at addresses 0000 to 3FFF, which is not typically where a program would keep graphics data anyway. And it trades away access to a monochrome font, such as the PETSCII font or a custom text font. Implementing full-color mode. FCM is a feature of SEEM and requires that CHR16 be enabled. Set bit 0 of D054. As we saw in the last digest, this doubles the screen memory and color memory for each character to 2 bytes each. This also requires setting the line step register, D058 to D059, to twice the number of characters in each line. For example, 160 bytes for 80 characters. The article contains a simple example setting up a single FCM character, along with regular Petsky. This sets FCLR high only, bit 2 of D054, and leaves FCLR low clear. The FCM character data is written to address 40000. The example also sets custom palette values, with the red components written to registers D100 to D1FF, greens to D200 to D2FF, and blues to D300 to D3FF. Remember that 8-bit color component values need the nibbles swapped before storing. We can't reliably use the kernel screen editor's default memory location with CHR16 enabled, so we set screen pointer, addresses D060 to D063, to somewhere more useful, in this case, address 50000. It's important to clear both screen and color memory so the various bits don't have unintended effects. Screen code 32 still refers to a Petsky space because FCLR low is clear. The example writes a brief message using lower screen codes, and the custom character using a 16-bit screen code of 1000 to refer to the character data at 40000. The program waits for a key press, then restores the original screen settings. Nibble Color Mode, the search for more memory. 256 colors is a luxury, but sometimes memory is a luxury we can't afford. And yet it is still useful to be able to use many pixels in a single character. What else can we trade? In Nibble Color Mode, or NCM, 4 bits describe a pixel instead of 8. That gives us a respectable 16 colors to choose from for each pixel in a given character. Each pixel uses half as much memory as full-color mode. Hang on to your butts, because there's a lot to know about Nibble Color Mode. We'll take this one thing at a time. Thing 1. NCM is a feature of a character. Nibble Color Mode is not a system mode. It is a feature of an individual character while in full-color mode. You tell a character to interpret its character set data as NCM instead of FCM by setting bit 3 of its color RAM value. Combined with keeping FCLR low clear, this means you can mix monochrome, lower non-FCM characters, full color, upper FCM characters, color bit 3 clear, and nibble color, upper FCM characters, color bit 3 set, all on the same screen. Thing 2. The low nibble is the left pixel. With a character in nibble color mode, each byte represents 2 horizontally adjacent pixels. The lower nibble in bits 0 to 3 of the character data is the left pixel, and the upper nibble in bits 4 to 7 is the right pixel. This is backwards from how we normally think of pixel order in monochrome pixel data, where the most significant bit is the leftmost pixel. Thing 3. NCM characters are 16 pixels wide. A character in nibble color mode still uses 64 bytes to describe all of its pixels, 8 bytes per row. With 2 nibbles per byte, an NCM character is 16 pixels wide instead of 8. These are normal-sized pixels, not halved or doubled. The NCM character simply takes up more space on screen because it has more horizontal pixels. The character at the subsequent memory location starts at the horizontal position where the previous character left off. This is wild! For the first time in this series, we have to think of a character taking up a variable amount of space on a row depending on its properties. No longer can you say for sure that a character described at a given memory address has a given horizontal coordinate. Its actual position depends on the previous characters in the row. And here is our first clue as to the usefulness of the line step register. Each row takes up line step number of bytes in memory. In normal text mode, a row of 80 characters needs 1 byte per character, so line step is 80. In CHR16 mode, with monochrome or FCM characters, a row of 80 characters needs 2 bytes per character, so line step is 160. If you have a screen full of NCM characters, 640 pixels per row and 16 pixels per character means you have 40 characters per row, each taking 2 bytes. In this case, you could set line step to 80 and avoid leaving a bunch of unused memory at the end of each row. You could even mix character modes on a row, and as long as you have a reliable maximum number of non-MCM characters, you could set line step accordingly. In later digests, we will see other amazing things that the VIC-4 can do with its row-wise rendering and find other uses for line step. Thing 4. NCM can pick colors from any group of 16. The actual color of a pixel is a combination of the 4-bit pixel data and the color value for the character in color RAM. The upper 4 bits of the color data for the character, bits 4 to 7 of color byte 1, are used as the upper 4 bits of the color value, and the character data nibble is the lower 4 bits. This allows multiple NCM characters to access all 256 colors of the palette on the same screen, with the limitation that only 16 at a time can be used for a given 16x8 NCM character. If the nibble value is F, that is, all 4 bits are 1s, the color of the pixel is the full 8-bit color RAM value for the character. That sounds complicated, but it's quite powerful. We can use techniques similar to the VIC-2 low-res multicolor mode blending trick we saw earlier to hide differences between characters, this time with many more color options at our disposal. Converting PNG images to character sets. More powerful graphics features demand richer graphics data. You're more than welcome to stick with the old-school methods of graph paper and data statements. To fill a screen with color, you're more likely to want to use graphics editing tools and image data converters. By far, the most popular graphics editor for retro-style pixel graphics is ASPRITE, spelled A-S-E-P-R-I-T-E. It's available for Windows, macOS, and Linux for a lean one-time $20 purchase that's worth every penny. Alternatively, you can opt for the free LibreSprite, which has a common origin with ASPRITE. ASPRITE gives you fine control over pixels and palettes, and allows you to animate your creations and export animation frames in a sprite sheet. Here are a few tips for using ASPRITE for Mega 65 graphics and for conversion to other vintage or retro-style computers. Set color mode to indexed. This tells ASPRITE to save pixel data as palette entry numbers and not RGB values for each pixel. Open the Sprite menu, Color mode, then select Indexed. Set up your palette to match your desired Mega 65 graphics mode. If you're using full color mode, it's easiest to establish a 256 color palette directly in ASPRITE and use the same palette for everything. You can save and load palettes from the Options button menu above the palette on the left-hand side. Set image dimensions in multiples of 8, and draw tiles and sprites on 8-pixel boundaries so you know your images align to characters. Export, using the PNG file format, a lossless format that includes palette and image data in one file when in indexed color mode. I'd love to nerd out on the PNG file format here like I did with IFF in a previous issue, but you can read the Wikipedia article for details. Instead, we'll use the PyPNG Python library for converting data into a format a Mega 65 program can use with full color mode. See the article for a complete, albeit simple, example of a Python script that reads a PNG image file and writes separate character data and palette files, along with a basic program that sets up full color mode, loads and installs the data files, and draws the full image to the screen. The PyPNG library provides the pixel data as a list of pixel rows, where each row is a byte array of palette entry numbers, the width of the image. This is where most of the conversion work needs to happen. For FCM characters, the bytes need to be arranged as 8x8 character tiles, where each tile's bytes are organized row-wise top to bottom. The library also provides the palette data as RGB values for each palette entry, in order, as a tuple of 3-byte values. For easier installation into the registers, the conversion script performs the nibble swap on the color component values and writes them in register order, first all of the reds, then all of the greens, then all of the blues. To keep this example simple, I hard-coded this to accept a photograph that I resized to 640 pixels wide and 192 pixels tall. Leaving the last 8 pixel rows of the screen empty allows me to fit all of the FCM character data, 640 by 192 is 122,880 bytes, and the CHR16 screen data, 80 by 25 by 2 is 4,000 bytes, next to each other in memory banks 4 and 5. I prepared the image to use 8-bit indexed color and 256 palette entries. I put the character and palette data files onto a D81 disk image, along with a basic program. I'm using the bload command to load the data files. Bload does not support loading data directly into registers, so I load the palette file into a temporary memory location first, then copy the data into the registers. The character data is loaded to address 40000, with just enough room for screen memory at address 5F060. The program fills screen memory with consecutive character addresses starting at 4000, similar to the monochrome bitmap example from the last digest. Of course, both the Python script and the basic loader could be expanded to accommodate images of any dimension and palette size. You can even invent a file format that includes dimensions, palette, and image data in a single file, ready for use with a general-purpose image viewer based on FCM character graphics. A general-purpose image converter would be nice, but I find it useful to know how to customize the conversion process. For example, a program using NCM graphics would need to know more about what should go into color memory for each tile, or how 16x8 MCM characters are organized on the screen. A game with tiles or animations would need to know how the sprite sheet is arranged. Tools like Asprite, combined with custom data management, are a part of a powerful retro game dev workflow. We're making great progress on our character graphics series, but there's still some ground to cover. The Mega 65 has more tricks up its sleeve for more colors, fancier text rendering, and arcade graphics techniques. It'll take a few more issues to cover it all. A quick note about the newsletter schedule. You may have noticed that I haven't quite kept up a monthly cadence over the last few months. I know you're okay with it, and I'm okay with it too, I just want to acknowledge it. As long as this digest is a community resource, I owe it to you to at least send out community news on a regular basis. I'm planning one more issue in the 2025 calendar year. For 2026, I'm considering adjusting the format to post community news and feature articles separately. Expect some experimentation. This digest is supported by Cool People. If you're a cool person, consider becoming a supporter for the new year. Visit ko-fi.com/DDDAAANNN. Thanks all, see you next time. For more, visit my website, dansanderson.com/mega65.